morning, Montreal. Have you noticed how different the Wednesday morning after has been the last couple of weeks? Well, this week we have gathered 5 interviews for you to hear during the whole 2 hours of the show. Stay tuned and keep listening, or listen back later on to hear them all. The first interview today is from Pasha Mala, author of Kill Them All, published by Penguin Random House Books. A wacky and imaginative fiction, Kill Them All promises to be a good read. The second interview is with Paul Kafka. Born a Russian, Paul has followed an interesting career, leading to his current release, It Ain't the First Time. The third interview is with Tween Twins from Toronto, Gem Shadow. Josie and Cece play protest songs that relate to kids like them, and their music is really good. Stick around and give it a listen. 8 o'clock will bring Democracy Now, and 8:15 will bring Weather. The fourth interview comes from Girl Number 3, who identifies as a woman. Girl Number 3's self-titled album moves music beyond its psychedelic boundaries, opening your mind and heart to the musical experience. The fifth interview comes again from Random House Books, a delightful author known as Helen Oyeyemi. Doesn't that name sound yummy? Well, so is her new book, Pieces, full of mongooses and full baths on a train trip. A pleasure to enjoy. We'll end the day off with a rabble podcast about women miners in Bolivia. Then we will wrap up the show and call it a good week. Let's start the day off with some music.
Thank you. man for take a little warning.
What we are go bring?
We need some old school loving.
I got a thing.
We don't wanna go sing no horsing.
No playing no games.
A father figure for the children.
You don't know your place.
We need a teacher, a farmer, a logical mind. A leader strong and willing to free up your mind. We don't wanna sleep and no pray. And we want a real thing. We have an open mind. Athleticism.
I feel you. Deeply, I know that you're my warrior king.
It's hard to conceive.
You're my one and only king.
No matter where you are, I know that you will often think of me. Doesn't seem that you're too far when you are often in my. Someone for love me and hold me
when life is unkind.
For put my head on their shoulders
so I can unwind.
For hold a reason, a season.
I
wanna ride or die.
I doubt you could bring
someone for walk by my side and not in front of me. For hold my hand so tight with me anxiety. But I'm so wide where I could fall asleep. Will give me joy inside when he's protective of me. I feel you deeply.
I know that you're my warrior king.
It's hard to conceive.
You're my one and only king.
No matter where you are, I know that you will often think of me. Doesn't seem that you're too far when you are often in my. Me no want a man for come around me to screw up me mind. We have a clean heart, a pure soul, a mind so divine. We want a doctor, a lawyer, a banker too. A teacher, a lover, it could be you. We want a plumber, a drummer, a bus driver, mechanic. You don't know, we have the answer. We don't want a stuck up boy, we don't want a coward man. We are the king and queen, you have to overstand. We are gonna plant the seeds in the motherland. If you want real love, we have to make a plan. I feel you deeply.
I know that you're my warrior king.
It's hard to conceive.
You're my one and only king.
No matter where you are, I know that you will often think of me. Doesn't seem that you're too far when you are often in my. Someone to love me and hold me
when life is unkind.
To put my head on their shoulders
so I can unwind.
For what a reason, a season.
I doubt that it thing.
I wanna ride or die.
I doubt it will bring
someone to walk by my side and not in front of me. For hold my hand so tight with me anxiety. With a mouth so wide where I could fall asleep. Where give me joy inside when he's protective of me. I feel you deeply.
I know that you're my warrior king.
It's hard to conceive.
You're my one and only king.
No matter where you are, I know that you will often think of me. Doesn't seem that you're too far when you are often in my dreams.
Serenity. Why you all on my ass so lonely? 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 Why you wanna own it, own it, own it, own it, own it, own it, own it? Must be 'cause I'm on it, own it, own it, own it, own it, own it, own it. Why you all on my ass? I'm trying to get this paper right now. I'm feeling like I'm higher than a skyscraper, trying to get myself to the level that we need. Why you trying to hold us back? Let's proceed.
Hater.
Don't never try to stop a real, real G. Too many haters and I'm on the street. But they bad mind stay far from me. Can't hold a vibe with your dark energy. Don't know, say my name, Serenity. So me do it with ease like a nice summer breeze. Fresh and ting, Mrs. Clean. Walking trophy, yo, a hood celebrity. I just pace and bow. Tell them what it is when I stack it all. Like the way I do it, 'cause I chase the cows, pops. Why you all on my ass so lonely? 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 Why you wanna own it, own it, own it, own it, own it, own it, own it? Must be 'cause I'm on it, own it, own it, own it. Chaos, crabs in a bucket, grade A, organic piece, a different type of cutlet. You can't stop me, made from a different fabric. 514 is when someone wreaked this havoc. Yo, I guess I'm on them treetops, but I'm never green. I just oversee how the haters feel when I'm overseas. South Beach, Nassau, Negril, them vets cause me do it for real. Don't ever let no one stop your shine. No shade, blind them with all your light. They will try to hold you back a dirty, dirty blight. But like MJB said, this my life, so I just pace and bow. Tell them what it is when I stack it out. Like the way I do it, cause I chase the cows. Chase the cows. Pause. Why you all on my ass all lonely? Why you all on my ass all lonely?
Get off my ass.
Why you all on my ass all lonely?
Y'all need to get off my ass.
Why you all on my ass all lonely? Why you wanna own it? Own it. Own it. Own it. Own it. Own it. Own it. Must be cause I'm on it. Own it. Own it. Own it.
Pasha Mala is the acclaimed author of several works of poetry and fiction, including his most recent release, Kill Them All. Pasha Mala lives in Hamilton, Ontario. With us today, we have author Pasha Mala. Hi, Pasha, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila. It's nice to be here.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be an author.
My name is Pasha. I don't know how I became. Writing is something I really enjoyed since I was a little kid. And I think when I was five, I told my mom that I either wanted to be an astronaut in a motorcycle gang or an author when I grew up. And I'm not very good at math, so the astronaut thing was out. And I'm not very tough, so being a biker was out. So I think I defaulted to being a writer. And it was just something I did a lot as a kid and kind of fell out of it in my teenage years and then found my way back to in my 20s. And yeah, here I am. And now this is my seventh book, I guess.
What is your history as an author? What have you published?
Well, this is my third novel. I also published a book. My first book that I published was a book of short stories called The Withdrawal Method in 2008. And I've published a couple books of, I guess, poems. I don't really think of myself as a poet. I mean, I'm not an accomplished poet. I kind of do it for fun. And I think about the wealth of incredibly talented and smart poets we have in this country. And I feel like I don't really deserve to be mentioned even in the same breath as any of these people. But I have published a couple books of kind of, you know, poem-like things. And yeah, this is my third novel, and I'm working on another one right now.
What's the name of the novel you're working on right now?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Oh, you don't know yet. Okay.
It's very much in process. So yeah, I don't know. I tend to give the files on my computer placeholder names, and then it's really very close to the end of the writing process that I figure out what the title should be. Although I will say this novel, Kill Them All, Kill Them All was the title from the beginning, and it was originally just a joke, like a bad piece of wordplay to entertain myself. And then as the book progressed, it seemed like it actually fit the book pretty well. So this is the rare exception of a book the title sort of came first.
What education do you have?
I have an undergraduate degree in humanities from York University. I originally majored in film and then kind of realized that I confused liking going to the movies with wanting to make one. So I sort of switched from film into some creative writing stuff, some English stuff. And then I took a couple of years off, and then I went to Concordia and did the graduate degree, an MA in English Literature with a creative writing focus.
How did you come to be involved in Penguin Random House Books?
Well, this is my second book with Knopf, like the Knopf label within PRH Canada. And my first book of stories was published with House of Anansi, and Lynn Henry was the editor of that book. And I just really liked working with her, and I really like her as a person. And she left House of Anansi and she went to Penguin Random House originally with Doubleday. And so when my contract with Anansi was done, I kind of followed her there, or at least, you know, my agent submitted stuff to Doubleday and then Lynn, and then I ended up signing with Doubleday. And then when Lynn went over to Knopf, I went with her to Knopf. So yeah, I just follow Lynn Henry everywhere she goes. It's good advice for any Canadian writer. I think she's the best.
When are you releasing your latest work, Kill Them All?
Oh, it came out February 2nd.
Okay, it did come out February 2nd. So you have released it and it is available for purchase.
Oh yeah.
Can you describe the plot of the story?
Not really. I mean, it's such a wacky book. I mean, the process of writing this book was There's this Argentine writer I like named Cesar Ayra, and he calls his process the flight forward. And my previous two novels were so structured and planned that this one was really, it's almost like improv. Like I just sort of had a vague dramatic situation. There was going to be someone living in a failing shopping center, and I wanted it to be strange and kind of funny. So I just sort of let the plot take me wherever it went. And the plot is pretty wild. Like, you know, basically this person ends up discovering all these things about this mall that are far more sinister and strange than he suspected. And it sort of just follows his adventures in and around the mall and then attempting to kind of escape the mall eventually. And there's, you know, wacky stuff in within there that, you know, an army of sentient ponytails, for example, and a heroic pony who lives in the recesses of the mall and a garage full of carnivorous cars. So yeah, it's kind of the plot's all over the place.
Everything in this novel is pure fiction. Could you read us a few minutes of your choice from the book Kill Them All?
Sure. So in interpolating the story are these progress reports the narrator has to keep as sort of the terms of his residency. And the progress reports are often very divorced from the reality of what's going on in the book. So I'm going to read progress report number 7, which is toward the end of the book when things are going really, really haywire. And he's just met this pony named Gary. And so this is progress report number 7. If there is a creature more noble, more resplendent, more honorable, more elegant, frankly, more virile than a horse, I wish to never know its name. For there is only so much space in my heart to admire any species other than my own. And that space is currently carved into the shape of a horse. Try to cram an elephant in there and I'd need an angioplasty. Superlatives aside, it is a horse's various utilitarian functions that make it so impressive. Think of all that one can do with, on, and to a horse. Ride it, stroke it, go to war atop its back. A horse can deliver your mail. It can swim, it can whinny, and it can prance. A human and horse together can compete in a joust or Olympic. Horses can love and they can laugh. They can even be carved into steaks and feasted upon. Though this isn't a recipe, it's a love letter to horses. If you aren't convinced of the supremacy of the horse, consider the lowly moronic cow, as insipid a creature as has ever stalked the earth. Who has ridden a cow, a drunk on a dare perhaps, right into a ditch? At best, mount a cow and prepare for disappointment. Cows don't canter, they stare. If a horse ever fixes its gaze on anything, it's to devise a strategy for dominance. How will I dominate this cow, for example? If nutrition is your pro-bovine argument, beef can be replaced with a dozen things. Yak, squab, a clod of beans, and with a confident grip, a farmer can milk almost anything. Have your cow. I'll keep my horse. It was a stupid idea for a trade anyway. How would I get home? While you were galloping off into the sunset, there I'd be hopelessly hitching sleigh to udder. And even when I screamed, hi-ya, the cow would only regard me inanely over its shoulder and moo. By the time I'd lashed the thing into motion, you and my former horse would be at home, feet up, sharing a delicious bowl of salt. Horses are afforded dedicated pastures where they frolic and graze. Such dignity, especially compared to goats chewing garbage from the chain link. Think, too, of the refinement of a stable versus the putrid squalor of a barn's great bestial orgy, where the ducks and dogs and every species in between, ram, ass, etc., spend their evenings rutting in dung-matted hay or slurping one another's waste from a trough. Meanwhile, the horses are sedately trying on saddles and enjoying a supper of apples and cubed sugar. And fish? They can't even neigh. The most sophisticated animals wear shoes, people and horses. No one else. Oh, sure, sometimes you'll catch a monkey trying on a boot, but that's usually just mischief or confusion. It's no coincidence that the horseshoe is a symbol of good fortune. You never catch even the most downtrodden loser treating a dog's leash as a luck suppository, but there's a horseshoe inside you is one of the finest compliments you can pay another person. Since ancient times, the horses help till the fields, get people where they need to go, and also with logging. One rides into battle atop a stallion. One rides through the dead of night to rouse the blind drunk veterinarian to deliver another elegant foal. Horses save lives. They make life worth living. To see a horse galloping at full speed is like witnessing God, him or herself, streak wildly around a meadow. To hold a horse in one's arms is to feel the pulse of life itself in its purest, cleanest form. To ride one is to dream. Horses, there's no other animal I'd rather own or love or be. Also ponies.
Thank you for that.
No problem.
What is the theme of this novel, Kill Them All?
I don't know if there's one theme. There's a bunch of different themes, I guess. You know, one of the themes I think is isolation and loneliness, which I, you know, this book was written long before the pandemic began. So it really had nothing to do with that kind of specific isolation that a lot of us are feeling right now. But I do think that one of the elements of the book is a kind of a sense of like this deep existential solitude, someone isolated in a space with no one else in it. So that's one of the things. I mean, also like, you know, capitalism. It's a theme. But I mean, I think any good book has multiple threads and themes that one hopes kind of interweave.
You were mentioning earlier the reason for the name Kill Them All. Could you go over that again? What was the reason for your choice of the name?
Well, originally it was just a joke because I thought it was such a dumb title that it just kind of made myself laugh every time I opened up the file, like the sort of wordplay on Kill Them All. I mean, there's a, you know, an old Metallica album, Kill Them All, and there's a hip-hop group, well, Odd Future Wolfgang, Kill 'Em All. So it's kind of like, it has this sort of really corny horror sort of vibe to it. But, you know, then the novel ended up having a really kind of corny horror vibe to it. So it just seemed like it made sense. And my friend Fiona Foster, who also just published her first novel called The Captive, was one of a few people who really kind of like, you know, liked the title from the beginning and was kept suggesting that it should be the title for the book when it was published. So yeah, here we are, and it is. So
if our listeners wish to buy your book, where should they go?
They should go to an independent bookstore. If they're in Montreal, they should go to Drawn and Quarterly. Elsewhere, yeah, any independent bookstore is the best place to buy this book for sure.
Thank you for your interview today.
Yeah, thanks, Sheila. It was nice to talk to you.
You've been listening to Pasha Mala speaking about his latest work of fiction, Kill Them All. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando. Paul Kafka is taking advantage of the pandemic by continuously writing new songs and has plans to release more tracks throughout the year. His latest EP is entitled It Ain't the First Time. With us today, we have Paul Kafka. Hi, Paul, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved in music in North America.
Of course. Thank you, Sheila. It's a great pleasure to be here. So as you said, my name is Paul Kafka. I live in Ontario in a city called Vaughan, just outside of Toronto. I was born in Russia and I kind of bounced around the world a little bit before I settled in Canada. When I was a kid, my parents enrolled me in a specialist music school. And I attended classes there for 6 years, 4 days a week. I was kind of learning the theory, playing classical and folk music and all those kind of things. But when I got home, I was listening to a lot of rock and roll and blues music like the Beatles, Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, B.B. King, John Lee Hooker, Chuck Berry, Roy Orbison. The list goes on. My primary instrument in school was accordion, but around the age of 13, I kind of switched to a guitar and made it my instrument of choice. And that's what I've been playing mainly ever since. And when I came to Canada, I initially played in quite a few cover bands and I backed some original musicians as a session musician myself. But about 4 years ago, a lot of people been telling me, like, you got to start, you know, writing and performing your own stuff. So I said, you know, I'll give it a go. And I decided to explore a solo career, which resulted in my first record coming out in 2019. So that is kind of how I came to be where I'm at right now.
Who are the musicians and producers who work with you?
That's a great question. Specifically for this record, there was a lot of really good artists that helped me. And, you know, I frankly think that without them, it wouldn't be possible to make it. Generally, on the production side, I like to produce music myself because I learned to arrange and produce way before I learned to write songs. But I do always, because I only play a few instruments myself, I always have to go and outsource some of the tracks to other musicians. So specifically for this EP, it ain't the first time. I worked with some of my friends from Toronto, Joe Burke on slide guitar and dobro, Ethan Tilbury on bass, Res Krebs on mandolin, a couple of singers, Viola and Justin McHugh, who did provide additional vocals, and my friend Zebulon Barnoff, who played on percussion. And then I worked with my friend Alexei Ozerov, who mixed and mastered the four songs.
What is the process you went through when you wrote the EP It Ain't the First Time?
When I decided to kind of work on an original, authentic country album or a record, I was listening to a lot of old school country music from before 50s, and I was watching some Western, you know, also old school Western movies, and even I picked up a video game called Red Dead Redemption 2, which kind of puts you into that mid-late 19th century vibe. But working on the actual tracks and writing everything, it was all done in quarantine. A lot of us are in areas that are still in lockdown, even like the city of Toronto. So it was all done remotely. I would lay down the foundation that I thought was for the song, and then I just spread it out to all the musicians, and they would send back their takes on this. So from that perspective, I even think that a lot of the people that I worked with contributed to being producers of that record, because without them, it would sound completely different.
May we listen to some of your music?
Yes, of course.
This is the opening song to the album, Dark Horse, on the Wednesday Morning After.
I've been chasing wild horses out on the plain. I have swallowed the dust, I have soaked in the rain. There were days when I found them and days I searched in vain. There were mustangs and ponies and curly and Dutch. There were good old American warm bloods and such. But there's one in particular I could never tame. One dark horse kept getting away. This one dark horse just wouldn't stay. There has to be a way to save the day. But this is one dark horse kept getting away. Well, I tried every trap, every ploy, every trick. But the dark horse was always too smart and too quick. Every time we engaged, I seemed to lose the game. And such, but there's one in particular I could never tame. One dark horse keeps getting away. This one dark horse just wouldn't stay. There has to be a way to save the day. But this one dark horse keeps getting away.
keeps getting away. This one dark horse just wouldn't stay. There has to be a way to save the day. But this one dark horse keeps getting away. This one dark horse keeps getting away. This one dark horse keeps getting away.
It Ain't the First Time is the title track of your new EP. What is the story behind this song?
I wanted to get a traditional and kind of like most roots and country exemplar, I would even say, song. So to me, I wanted to culminate in this one and make it the centerpiece of the record. And on the most common themes that you can find in country music, the heartbreak, there's a little bit of liquor references, there's a lot of water and a lot of feeling soul searching. So a typical cowboy song, if you wish, and a cowboy is that person that is combining a strong stance and, you know, tough on the outside but tender and kind of romantic on the inside. So that's what I was trying to put in this song and kind of make it into references. I think the notable thing is that if you listen to the song, you can hear that I'm singing in my lower register, and that was a little bit of a stretch for me, but I specifically wanted to sound a little more like those later country singers like Johnny Cash and some of the contemporary country singers, so that it's not that old school, but also kind of bridges into the contemporary country music.
What are you doing to celebrate this release?
Frankly speaking, not much. I mean, I'd love to get on the road and start playing live. Typically, I would have a release party, but, you know, alas, right now it's not possible. For now, what I have to do is settle down to doing those remote interviews and live streaming. So I do quite a bit of live streaming on Facebook and Twitch. My next release, so I did a Facebook live stream to celebrate the release of this EP, but the next one will be beginning of April, April the 2nd. So maybe you can catch me then.
May we hear some more of your music?
Of course, yes.
This is It Ain't the First Time on CKUT.
It ain't the first time that I have been broken up with. It ain't the first time that it's raining in my heart. It is not new to mix fine rye with old style pilsner. I'm almost used to looking for another start. I always knew that finding love would not be easy. And I believe in searching high and searching low. Still, it's the first time that I feel like I am sinking. And them cool waters surely flow so fast below. So pull me out and take me home like it's the first time. And let me hold you tight and kiss you in the rain. There is no use in hanging on to old disasters. Because each time we drown, we learn to breathe again. Thank you. sure it ain't the last one. Life has a way of reestablishing its flow, but it's the first time that I'm choking underwater, and them cool currents surely drag you deep below. So pull me out and take me home like it's the first time, and let me hold you tight and kiss you in the rain. There is no use in hanging on to old disasters, because each time we drown, we learn to breathe again. It ain't the first time, and I'm sure it ain't the last one. Life has a way of reestablishing its flow, but it's the first time that I'm choking underwater, and them cool currents surely drag you deep below. But it's the first time that I'm choking underwater, and them cool currents surely drag you deep below.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
My music is on all major streaming platforms and digital stores like Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Amazon, and so on. So whatever you're using, chances are you will find my music on there. If you're looking for a specific direct links, you can go to my website, www.paulkafke.com. And you can also get CDs directly from my website. Since now we're in lockdown and quarantine, I will even mail them myself. So if you want a signed copy, let me know.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you very much, Sheila. It's a pleasure.
You have been listening to Paul Kafke speaking about It Ain't the First Time, his album and title track. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning.
When the sun comes out
this morning, baby.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Now every morning when I wake up,
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up 7:30 every morning. The same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8 heures demain matin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Riding a bike made of bacon and eggs.
In the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Why should the sun replace the moonlight?
Has this ever happened to any of you, or will it happen to any of you, on the morning after the night before?
You are listening to The Morning After on CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
While others in their age group are busy posting on various social media platforms, Toronto's tween twin sister duo Gem Shadow is out making protest songs for their generation. With us today, we have tween twins, Cece and Josie, and their mom, Simone. Hi, Gem Shadow, and welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
First, please introduce yourselves. Tell us how you came to be on the planet.
Do you want to start?
Yeah. Okay. So my name is Josie.
My name is Cece.
Our band's called Gem Shadow. How we first started doing or playing instruments was we got on stage is that we had a talent show at our school and we didn't tell our parents. And we joined in on the talent show and our parents didn't know. And then we got in And we obviously from there we had to tell our parents, and so we told our mom and our dad, and they were really happy because I was scared that they weren't gonna let us do it, but they were really happy and wanted us to go and do it, and so we did it.
Yeah, and we made teachers cry.
and then we made our teacher cry, and then from there we started going to shows and playing.
Where did you go when you were little that made you feel good about music?
Okay, so we went the Ontario Science Center in Toronto. We went there a lot. Because there was this one area where it would play a song, and we would have like these fake guitars, and we would pretend that we're playing a song with all these lights. And stuff.
It was really fun. I can vividly remember.
Yeah,
I remember doing it there.
How were you trained as musicians?
We first, when we were around maybe 6 years old, we started going to church choir. And then from there, we joined the primary choir in school. Mm-hmm. And then
we started learning instruments.
Yeah, then there we started learning how to play. I started learning how to play piano, and Cece started learning how to play guitar. And then from there, we moved to junior choir based on grades. And from we joined the glee club at school. And then in grade 5, we started learning ukulele.
What is the song What's Going On all about?
It's about like world issues, about how kids are getting like they don't feel safe. There's things that that kids have to avoid. And there's things that parents have to try to help their kids with, and they can't because they don't have all the needs. And also with teachers, that they're having problems too, and it's hard for them to do things and help with learning. And that kids are getting bullied, and they can't do really because they have certain limitations. They can't really do anything about it, and they're not getting paid enough to.
May we listen to some of your music?
Yes, of course.
But here's What's Going on the Wednesday Morning After.
People living off bank rolls and credit cards. Food bank.
going to party this release, girls?
Like, you mean celebrate?
Yes.
I feel like we're just gonna, like, party it with families and friends and just like, yeah, just have it with families and friends and maybe some fans. Yeah.
Yeah, we're probably, like, we did a stream a few days ago, so we probably would do more streams as well.
Yeah, and on Instagram.
How are you listed on Instagram in case you want to find those streams?
We are, our Instagram account is Gem Shadow.
Spelled how?
By the way, I'm pretty sure it's uppercase GEMSHADOU.
What are you planning to do musically for an encore later this year?
We have a song coming out soon. It's in the works, but it will hopefully come out during May. Hopefully.
And what is its name?
I'm Alive.
May we hear some more of your music?
Of course. Sure.
Well, I don't have I'm Alive here, and I can't wait to have it. But for today, we're gonna play the crappy song. Is that okay with you girls?
Of course. Yes.
Okay, well, this is the crappy song on CKUT.
Tomorrow. So the next day, I went to the airport and I got on the plane. And then I realized realized the pilots were aliens. Then they flew me into the unknown.
Listen to people and don't ignore them. You might get hurt. You might get hurt. Listen to people and don't ignore them. You might get hurt. Oh, you might get hurt. Listen to people and don't ignore them. You might get hurt. You might get hurt. You might get hurt. Listen to people and don't ignore them. You might get hurt. You might get hurt. Oh, you might get hurt.
Well, you might be wondering what happened to me after the unknown. They dumped me in the studio and they made me write this crappy song.
If the audience wants some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
They should go to music platforms like Spotify, SoundCloud, and Apple Music.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Gem Shadows speaking about themselves and their music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Hello.
Oui, allô?
Hey, how are you?
Ça va pas bien. J'ai eu peur, je fais un bad trip. J'ai des mauvaises vibrations partout.
Take a deep breath. Ride it out, it's gonna pass. Can you sit down?
Oui, ok, d'accord.
Okay. So listen to my voice, just try to concentrate on my voice. You're gonna be fine.
Ok, merci.
Turn your bad vibes into good vibrations. Donate to CKUT's annual funding drive and feel good. Dial 514-907-9424 or donate online at ckut.ca.
CKUT's annual funding drive runs Thursday, March 18th to Sunday, March 28th. Our programmers have been working hard at home all year, and it's time to celebrate their efforts. The theme of our first ever online drive is sowing the seeds of grassroots change, and we're asking you to support independent community media. Help us reach our goal of $25,000. Go to ckut.ca to donate today.
Sowing the seeds of change, seeds of change. Sowing the seeds, sowing the seeds of change. Seeds of change, sowing the seeds of change.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The border is closed. We are expelling families, we are expelling single adults, and we've made a decision that we will not expel young, vulnerable children.
The Biden administration moves to close much of the southern border as it holds 15,000 unaccompanied migrant children. The number of asylum seekers shows no sign of slowing down. We'll get the latest and look at how two Trump-supporting Mexicans are fanning the flames at the border.
Two Mexican conspiracy theorists are broadcasting false information out of a migrant camp in Tijuana. Now, hundreds of asylum seekers who already fear for their lives because of death threats in Central America and gang violence in Tijuana have to also contend with the xenophobia, racism, and hostility that these live streamers are inciting on social media.
Plus, we go to Bessemer, Alabama, where Amazon workers are voting on whether to become the first unionized Amazon warehouse in the United States. It's one of the most closely watched union elections in decades.
Working at Amazon Warehouse is no easy thing. The shifts are long, the pace is super fast. You are constantly being watched and monitored. They seem to think you are another machine.
We'll speak to Stuart Applebaum, president of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. While Amazon is fighting the unionization drive, the company CEO, Jeff Bezos, has made $65 billion over the past year during the pandemic. That's an average of over $7 million an hour. And a mass shooting at a supermarket in Boulder, Colorado, has taken 10 lives. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the Quarantine Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Boulder, Colorado, a gunman opened fire without warning at a supermarket Monday afternoon, killing 10 people. Witnesses described a horrific scene of bodies littering supermarket aisles as the shooter systematically fired round after round at shoppers without saying a word. Police injured a white male suspect outside the King Soopers grocery store and took him into custody. He has not been identified, and no motive in the killings is known. Among those shot dead was 51-year-old police officer Eric Talley, who was the first on the scene. Resident Stephen McHugh dropped his family members off at the supermarket's pharmacy, where his son-in-law was in line for a COVID-19 vaccine with his two grandchildren. McHugh said the family witnessed people being shot around them and hid in a closet until the police rescued them.
It's not okay that we don't have better gun control laws. Let me just say that. It's not, you know, when it's your family, this has got to stop. Every week in the United States, there's a shooting. Now it's our turn, and that should never be repeated anywhere.
The killer used an AR-15 semi-automatic assault rifle. Just last week, a Colorado state